So let's pray. We do thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are with us right now, that your Holy Spirit is present in our lives, and we pray that you will touch our hearts and learn from you so that we may honour and serve you in this coming week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we heard about calls when we were warming up our minds a bit later on. And our reading from Genesis showed this, that Abraham received a call from the Lord. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. We have no idea what relationship Abraham had with God. We've not got any clues in the Bible readings that we have had and have. But he probably had one. And then he was suddenly challenged. Have you ever been challenged by God? He was challenged in this way. Go, leave this, leave that, leave everything, apart from your family, that's precious to you. Something that you've known for years. A place you've been settled in for ages. Leave it. Leave your possessions, leave your friends, leave your family, the neighbours down the road, whatever. Or I should say in the tents down the road, probably. And go. What a challenge. What if you heard a call and somebody came and said to you, I want you to leave your house, Mike. I want you to go to Saudi Arabia. What? Ah, but Abraham didn't even know where he was going to. He was going into the unknown. And amazingly, he responded. He responded. He left his security. He left his comfort. He left his neighbours. He left everything that he knew about, everything that was settled for him. And he went. And of course, he was 75. What if I, at 75, had received a call to go where? Wouldn't that be an amazing challenge? Well, it certainly was to Abraham. So what did he do after he was well settled there? Well, he received a promise. And the promise was this. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. What an amazing statement from God, that everyone, all the peoples on the earth, will be blessed through you. But I have a little caveat there. Only if they trusted in the Lord, as we've revealed in scriptures and so on. So, Abraham goes off. The years pass by, and the years pass by, and like sometimes happens with us, things went wrong for Abraham. He did some very foolish things. For example, he pretended that his wife wasn't his wife, because one of the kind of rulers that he met was fond of this lady and took Sarai to be his wife. And God revealed to that man, don't do this. Abraham had really messed up, but God could forgive him and help him and let him go on. So, as I say, that was very drastic. I mean, do you ever get things wrong? A mess up, and thought, oh, I wish I'd never done that. I would recall about something when I was helping in a Christian camp for young people. I thought, I wish I had never done that. What reflection was that on the person who brought that young person or those young people to camp when I did something stupid? Well, we all can do things that are stupid and ridiculous, but God loves us so much that if we say, I'm sorry, Lord, I messed it up, he forgives us and helps us and can keep with us and so on. So, the Lord can encourage us, and he can challenge us in different ways. He can challenge us through people we meet, maybe someone we've only met for the first time, and they might say something to us which is challenging. He can challenge us in other ways too, through reading God's word, the Bible, and sometimes through prayer. As we're reflecting and talking to him, he can challenge us, and sometimes directly, as we had in also in Genesis here, said this, through a vision this time, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. Or it could be translated, I am your sovereign shield, your reward will be great. That's two ways that could be translated. So do you regard the Lord as your sovereign, your shield? Interestingly, Abraham then went on to say this, to acknowledge God as his sovereign Lord, and then said, I remain childless. So how can all the peoples of the earth be blessed through me? We remain childless. So the Lord appears, and he takes Abraham, outside and says, look up at the stars. Can you count them? Look at them. Count the stars in the sky. Have you ever managed to count the stars? Of course, Abraham didn't manage to count all the stars. We find it difficult, don't we, living in a city like this, where it's very often not good to be able to see the stars. When we're out in the countryside and see the masses of stars, and we know that there's masses and masses beyond that that we can never see. So he challenged him to do this. And so he says this. Count the stars, and says, so shall your offspring be as many as the stars. And of course, down the years, followers of God have been many, 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 countless. We couldn't count because we wouldn't know all that. So Abraham believed the Lord, even though he couldn't know what the future was going to hold for him and his family and how the future would work out. We do not know, do we, how our future will work out.
I don't.
But we have to trust in the Lord, as Abraham did. And it says this about him. And the Lord, because Abraham believed him, credited to him as righteousness. Okay? Credited it to him because he trusted in God. And he had to wait patiently. Are you patient? Some people are very patient. Some people are pretty impatient. I've got a whole range of patience, haven't we? And it's not always easy, is it, for us to wait patiently for things that we hope to happen for us or our family. So then many, many years later, when Abraham was now 99, the Lord changed his name, as we heard, to Abraham, and his wife Sarai to Sarah. We don't know what her name means, but Abraham's new name, Abraham, means or can mean the father of many, the father of those of us here who follow the Lord. And then, still, many years pass by. No child. And actually, as we read later on in Genesis, they didn't believe that they were going to have a son. It was going to be impossible. How could they have a son in their very old age? How could Sarah possibly have a son? And yet, eventually, it happened. And a son was born, and he was named Isaac, meaning he laughs. Ah, sure, they were absolutely amazed, weren't they? Did they laugh? Well, I'm sure they rejoiced that they did have a son, that God had kept his promise, and they'd had to wait patiently. Are you patient? Are you ready to wait patiently for things to happen in your lives? Well, that's the challenge for us, isn't it? Now, so let's leave Abraham in that happy situation and go to Matthew, who was our second reading there. Matthew, also known as Levi, and of course is the person who wrote the Gospel, Matthew, and so on. But we don't know much at all about his background. Not a clue, really.
Well, he was a tax
collector. Except that he was a tax collector. A tax collector.
Tax collector.
And that meant he would collect all sorts of local taxes. Whole range. And, like most tax collectors, he lived under the rule of the Romans. But in this area is actually Herod Antipas, who could rule on behalf of the Romans in that part of in that Galilee area. But tax collectors were hated and despised because basically they were working for the Romans, who had occupied and ruled their country. And they were despised because people knew they were cheated. Of course, they didn't have records like we do about taxes nowadays. And so there's no physical record of anything like that. But because they cheated so much, and they're getting more and more money than they should have, and so they were despised. In fact, they were even, as tax collectors, banned from going to the Jewish synagogue because they were so awful. But Jesus came to save all, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he saw in Matthew a possibility that perhaps no one else had seen. Possibility of what he would be, what he could become. Like he sees in us, the possibility for what we can become, what we can do, even in our old age, like Abraham. So he calls Matthew, follow me. That's it, just two words, follow me. And what does Matthew do? Well, it was a challenge. Because you see, we don't know much about Matthew. Matthew may never even have spoken to Jesus before. He probably had seen him, maybe heard him, and so on. But he had suddenly this challenge, follow me. So he got up and followed him. Now that was an amazing decision, wasn't it? He left all this tax collector business. He left behind his lucrative income and so on and followed Jesus. He left everything. And you know, if he decided not to follow around with Jesus and go back, he wouldn't have been able to go back to his tax collector business. Just as the disciples were able to do when Jesus had died. And they went back to being fishermen, didn't they? But Matthew wouldn't be able to go back to his work. So later on, as Luke actually records this, Matthew gives a great banquet, and this was for the tax collectors and sinners, the despised people. And above all, the great banquet was not for them, it was principally for Jesus. And so Jesus goes to that banquet and then is heavily criticized by Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And Jesus replied, "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." That's what Jesus came to do. As I said before, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Matthew becomes a really true follower of Jesus. And if we have heard God's call to follow him and have done so, then we are true descendants of Abraham and have the privilege of knowing Jesus' love for us, Jesus dying for us because he loved us so much, and the privilege of knowing that we are forgiven if we say to him, "Lord, whatever way you do, I'm sorry I messed up, please forgive me, be with me in my life and help me in the future." That's what happens because of Jesus' love for us. So what's the call for us here? What is my call for the future? May I get a surprise as I sit and reflect? May God challenge me. May God challenge you. The call is to become followers of Jesus and then perhaps to do something different from what we're doing now. Perhaps something even special. Something we didn't expect. Something that we never had thought about. But we are called to live a life of love and service in whatever kind of ways. It may be we're called to doing different things, to do things in a different way in our lives. It may be a call to support people physically, prayerfully, serving this church, serving this community, or the community maybe in which we live if we don't live here. Maybe serving God even nationally or internationally. How can I serve God internationally? Well, you can actually pray with people across the world regularly in distress and difficulties. We can do that. But above all, what we need to be is being in touch with the Lord so that we may know what he's calling us to do. We need to be in touch with him so that we can follow what he wants us to do. Amen.